Let's pray right fast. Father God, I thank you this morning. As we come to just open up your word, Lord, I just yield myself to you. Lord, you know what we need to hear this morning. And Lord, I thank you for giving us all ears to hear, to open eyes of our understanding and heart to receive, so that we truly supply what our joint supplies and fulfill our destiny. But I do roll the works of this over on you and give it to you, Father, so that it's not me, but it's you. And you give to us, me included, what you need for us to have today so we can go about occupying till you come, doing business till you come. And we give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So where to start? Last week, I'm going to start with this. Howdy said, I told Ricky about this the other day. I thought about this all week. And there's one statement Howdy said. He said, Jesus didn't beat around the bush, he burned the bush. And I was just like, that went all over me. It still gives me chills at the moment. And so I'm meditating on that and thinking about it. And the Lord impressed upon me. He said, but did you remember the bush was not consumed?
Amen.
He said, the fire purged and cleaned the bush of all unrighteousness and all sin. Word of God speak. When the word speaks, the word doesn't return void. And when we speak, Jesus declared the word, and people were set free and delivered.
Yeah.
And I think we get caught up. I know all of us, we think, well, what if I say this and I don't see anything happen? And Jesus was not concerned. You know, he walked off sometimes not seeing anybody. They just stood there looking at him like, what did you say? But you know what? That the word of God's a seed. And when we plant the seed, something's fixing to grow. Because if God had us plant the seed, he's going to send somebody to water it, fertilize it, and harvest it. We may not be that person to do the watering. We just be the one that sticks it in the ground. And so when we need to be obedient to put those seeds in the ground, to plant that word. And as we do, then someone comes along and they're going to run into someone. If we don't plant the seed, God's not bringing nobody across their path to water it and fertilize it because they don't got nothing to grow. We got to be obedient to plant when we're supposed to plant, and we have to be obedient to water when we're supposed to water and to fertilize. When we speak the word, we can't fail.
That's right.
And so if we'll be diligent to speak the word, then it's going to produce fruit. And it says everything produces after its kind. The word of God is a good seed that produces good fruit. Now, when we share our opinions, there may be some other things come out of that. Y'all don't get holy there. Don't get like, I mean, come on now. You got to admit, when we share our opinions, sometimes it doesn't produce as pretty a fruit as we'd like for it to produce. You know? And so I'm trying to be very tactful today, sharing so my wife doesn't scold me on the way home. I'm trying to grow. You know the compliments I get? I like you because you're so unfiltered. I'm not sure that sometimes. I appreciate that, but I'm not sure. I still just can't wait, Betsy, for the time when you get to look at one of those. I had a word I was going to really say concerning. I won't call the corrupt politicians. I'm calling them uncircumcised Philistines today. And so, I've so wanted to be able to look at one of them and say, you brood of vipers. You know, you dog. Jesus said that to people, you know. And I haven't been given permission to do that yet. My wife's constantly trying to filter me, and it's just so I'm working on that. But no, thank you, thank you so much. Okay, Diane, if I was going to title this today, I would title it Equipped to Destroy the Works of the Devil.
Amen.
Because we have been equipped to destroy the works of the devil. Turn, let's go to 1 John chapter 3. Verse 8. If you're there, just shout amen, clap, do something. All right, everybody there? 1 John 3:8, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. But for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. You know, that's when you think about the works of the devil, that's a pretty broad spectrum of things that go on there. And sickness, disease, you know, all the things. Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And we're encountering people every day in our area of influence that are oppressed of the devil. And, you know, this is kind of, okay, I'm going to do this. And it's nice. It's dealing with something in a manner that I started to bring the Founder's Bible, but the teaching on this is so long. But I want to just mention homosexuality to start with, and I'm going to say it like that, not in my regular vernacular that I usually use. You see, those people are being deceived, and they're being robbed of the life that God has for them, and they don't even know that. And so when we get judgmental and critical in the manner of putting condemnation on them, we're playing right along with the devil's hands. And so it's like, Lord, teach me how to deal with that, because that's a work of the devil that God's desiring for us to destroy in other people's lives. And that's where I think planting the seeds of just being able to speak things concerning that. You know, where we go to Genesis and God, you know, and all I have to say is God created a male and female. And he said, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined with his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Well, a man can't be a wife, and a woman can't be a husband. So it's self-explanatory. The laws of nature and nature's God will reveal to people, will open the eyes of their understanding if we leave our opinion in our own pocket.
Amen.
Amen. And I'm like, and so, for a lot of us, the era we grew up in, you know, we're having to overcome that. I'm having to overcome that. So I'm learning how to pray for people. I'm using that right there, you know, because, guys, they're being deceived. Those people, God knew them before he formed them in their mother's womb. When we go to Psalms 139 and we look at that right there, we're seeing that there's no place for abortion whatsoever. And so when we encounter someone that's so pro-abortion, all we have to do is read Psalms 139. We don't have to add an opinion. We don't have to give what we think. We don't have to tell them how sorry we think they are or anything else, because God knew them before he formed. He knew you. You can look at them and say, he knew you before he formed you in your mother's womb. Do you think he does not know your child before he formed it in your womb?
Amen.
But we don't have to go into a deep discussion if we can just, you know, like in the Founder's Bible, there's an area in there where this just talks about apologetics, knowing why you believe what you believe. And a lot of times we just say, well, because the Bible says so. Well, how does the Bible say it? And why does the Bible say it?
Yes.
And that's what we need to come to. So God's saying, I want you to equip yourselves. I think I wrote this down. We're to study to show ourselves approved, so that we rightly divide the word. I thought I wrote that down. I'm not seeing where I put it. But if we don't explain it from the word standpoint, we're basically just giving someone what we think. And it doesn't say, you know, I believe, it doesn't say our words will not return void. It says the word of God will not return void. And so I'm obligated to speak the word. And that's what Jesus did. He looked at people and he said what he heard the Father say, and he did what he's seen the Father do. And he's asked, and that's all he's asking us to do is the same thing. You know, when we're dealing with, you know, to me, there's no such thing as a transgender. There's only two genders. I mean, he created a male and female. And so I don't have to go into some big lengthy argument with them. All I got to do is open the Bible. If we carry just a, you know, we just have, you got it on your phone, most everybody. All you got to do is say, right here, it says God created a male and female. Now, you might think you're a cat, but you're not. You can go live in the cat house, the dog house. You can live in the barn, but it's not going to make you one of those animals that lives in the barn. And so just because you perceive yourself as something else, that's not what you are. Now, I guess you can talk that long enough that you, maybe when you look in the mirror, you see a cat. I don't know. But for most people, I know people that, you know, Kathy and I spend a lot of time at the barn, but we ain't become a horse or a cow. You know, sometimes I act like a dumb farm animal, excuse me, but do y'all see what I'm saying? We've got to speak the word in a manner that demonstrates we know what we're talking about. Amen. We don't argue with them. We're trying to set them free. God, Jesus wants to see them set free. He said, I come to set the captives free. He said, I want to see people delivered. He said, y'all occupy till I come. You do business. I give you authority to trample. He's already made the public spectacle of the principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. He has already triumphed over them. He's given us what it takes to enforce it. He said, you speak the word. You go and declare. You know, he told us in Job 22:20 there, he said, you declare a thing and it'll be established for you. He even told us what to declare. But I that was probably a good message if mom can interpret that. Out of the mouth of babes. We got to walk in love. And, you know, people shall know the truth, and the truth, the word says, you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. That's John 8:32. You shall know the truth and the truth shall make us free. Well, if it will make us free, that's a seed. When we encounter those situations and circumstances and we just speak the word, walk off, go get something to eat, go get a cup of coffee, do something, just walk off, just speak the word and walk off, because we just planted a seed that produces good fruit. But we think, oh, I need to help, and I need to, I need to expound on this a little bit. No, we've expounded way too much. God will do the expounding. Amen. Yes, Janet. God forgive us for expounding way too much, injecting our opinion, what we think, how we think it should be done. We don't need to do that. We need to, he's saying, if y'all will speak the word, I'm going to set the captives free. That's exercising our authority on the earth. You know, my generation, exercising authority came in a different form. You know, I mean, it was with your fist or with a gun or whatever. You know, you were taught to, you know, that's how you, but that's not what Jesus is talking about. We exercise our authority by speaking the word of God. The weapons in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. As we cast down those imaginations that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God, when we speak the word, which is one of our weapons of warfare, then what we're doing is implanting that engrafted word into people's lives, and God will bring down the strongholds. It's just what we got to do. It's what we got to do. Our nation is on the brink of. I'm not speaking negative. Don't get me wrong. We're on a thin wall at the moment, and it can go either direction. It can be given over to the devil, and our children and grandchildren are going to suffer. Most of us will be out of here by then. Well, not most of us, but there's a great deal. There's a lot of us in here that are closer to the end of things than the beginning. For those of y'all that are in the middle and back, we're not doing you a favor if we don't stand up and be who God called us to be. No matter what our age, no matter who we are, if you'll speak the word, I'll see to it that it accomplishes what I desire for it to accomplish. But we're so, and it's hard. I mean, I refuse. There's certain things I just refuse to do. I will not acknowledge the person that sits in the White House as the president, because he's not. He's illegally, illegitimately there, and he's not acting as one. He don't even know what he's doing. I know we're to pray for him because, I mean, his own people want him destroyed. To me, that's a sad thing when your family lets you go through that. You got a pretty sorry wife and son. I don't know if he's got more than them right there, but I think they're pretty sorry for letting him go through what he's going through, because most of the time I don't think he knows what he's going through anyway. Pretty evident when he talks, but we're to pray for him. But the standpoint here is we've got to preach the word. Those people there that are, I don't want to say they're demonically possessed. I believe some of them, my own personal opinion, some of them are. But there's a lot of demonic oppression in our government, but the church has allowed it because we've not fulfilled our spot in the body of Christ doing what God called us to do. Amen. If we're doing just what we're talking about here this morning, if we're declaring the word in that, from that standpoint, you see, I think all those people, the transgenders that call themselves transgender, there's not such a thing, homosexuals, all those people that call themselves that, they play right into their hands because they've allowed themselves to be controlled by principalities and powers. So they're under the control of a demonic influence. So they just fall right on into the hands of I won't call it the Democrats. That's what it is. And so they fall under their hand of someone ruling over them. And God's declared, you set the captives free. We've got to speak the truth. They shall know the truth, and the truth shall make them free. But we'd rather, I know, I'm guilty. We'd rather bash some heads sometimes than we had to speak the truth. Lord, this will be faster. Kathy and I encountered a situation years and years ago. And it wasn't a fun deal. It was a learning experience. And we're early in the ministry and stuff, and anyway, this situation we encounter, I call Glenn and I said, so what do I do? And he gives me the scripture and tells me how to handle it. And I said, how about I just whoop his? And he said, that will work. You can do that, but it's not going to accomplish what God desires to accomplish. And then you're going to have to repent and things are going to go a little slower. Okay. So I relinquished and followed Glenn's instructions to the most part. I never did do no whooping. I wanted to, and it still took a while, but I did it the way that it was instructed in the Word. And sometimes it takes a while for things to grow up, for people to change. We all should notice that from our own lives. What are some of us still dealing with that we've dealt with for a long time? Like, Lord, how come? I knew this was going to, I knew God had some special things for us this morning, because on the way, I'm like fidgety and I'm just like, Lord, how is this all going to come together? Let me back up here and see. I had all kinds of order here and everything. But remember, the fire did not consume the bush. It cleansed the bush. That's just what he showed me. And so Ricky, 2 weeks ago, he talks about the tongue. Y'all know in James where it says the tongue is let's go there and read it. James. We're just right there close anyway if you're still in John. James chapter 3. So I'm telling Ricky Yeah. Verse 5, even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird and of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Verse 9, with it we bless God our Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. And so the Lord, he quickened me to when Ricky said that tongue and the fire, the bush, and he said our tongue produces fire. And it can either be a destroying fire or a cleansing fire. And that's what he showed me the other day. He said, use it correctly. Use it in a manner that sets the captives free. That burns out the chaff from amongst them. He said, it's okay if your tongue sets things on fire, but it ought to be a cleansing fire, not a destroying fire.
Amen.
And so we need to pay attention to how we speak. And sometimes we need to learn the ministry of silence and just shut up. And be quiet. I mean, sometimes people are not ready to hear. So, you know, when certain things, you know, I mean, we've all done things that when it's not time, no matter how much you force it, it ain't going to work.
That's right.
It's got to be time. And so it's no different in our lives and other people's lives. If the Holy Spirit has not prepared them to receive, they're not going to receive it. And it's a good time to just be quiet. But you know, when you keep getting that unction, that wasn't you. Like I just love so much a friend of ours at Bible study that said that night, you know, well, I felt like the Lord was going to have me take a Bible over to the jail in Menard. And she said, I didn't want to do that. She said, I thought that was silly. And she said, how would I know if that was the Lord or just me? I said, well, would the devil have told you to take a Bible over to the jail? I told her, I said, Melanie, that's a great, she said, oh, Rusty, I never thought about it that way. I said, well, if we stop and think, those unctions, they're not going to be loud and banging and go over and over again. It's going to be this quiet thing that says, speak now. But we need to learn that when it says, speak now, don't elaborate. Just give a scripture and go on about your business. And leave them sitting there just like they were looking at Jesus. They don't know how to respond. And when they get that dumb look on their face and they don't know how to respond, it is time to shut up and walk away. Because now God's working. And we've left it in His hands. We have this as humans. We just feel this need to explain ourselves. Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. It's the same thing when we're sharing with people. We need to share what God said to share and leave it alone.
Amen.
He's well able to send the fertilizer by, the water truck by, to grow it up and to harvest it. We don't have to be a part of every one of those. We're to supply what our joint supplies and to fill that spot. So as we do that, I just see, you know, my goodness. You know, weapons of our warfare, not me, with so many things we went over. That was last time's sermon. I don't want to look at that one. Jesus disarming the principalities and powers. You know, and I talked about, you know, when we think about marriage and all those things as being examples of all that. And I got a book, and I really feel like I'm supposed to share a little bit of this. It's from Mario the other day. It's called Don't Leave Quietly. And I was just, wow, I was taken back by some of the things because we are to speak. You know, in Isaiah chapter 60, it says, arise and shine, for the Lord, the glory of the Lord has come. And He's arisen. Let's turn our eyes and look at that. Isaiah chapter 60. Because this is us. I have been on this chapter for 2 years. Isaiah 60, the first three verses. Arise and shine, for your light has come. We need to remind ourselves every day. I'm to arise and shine, for my light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon me. For behold, darkness covers the earth and deep darkness the people, but the Lord has arisen over me. Amen. That's not being haughty. That's declaring who we are in Christ. Okay? The Lord has arisen over me and His glory is being seen upon me. When we walk out the door, we should want the glory of the Lord to be seen upon us, because it will cause people to stand in awe of us and to draw them to us, because God's desiring to set them free. The Gentiles shall come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. Guys, I've been on this for 2 years. I'm here, and I mean, let me tell you what's really encouraging. When you get to stand up here and share those kind of things, and you've been doing it for 2 years, and you turn the television on, and there'll be a minister that you highly respect that has finally come into this and realizes that. Amen. And I'm not speaking bad about him. I'm just saying it confirms that, you know, We're seeing the body of Christ. It's time to arise and shine, for our light has come. Amen. And we take back this nation. We preserve this for our children. There's a great awakening happening at this very moment. Yes. It's taking place, and we're a part of it. You're here. We're here as a part of it, whether we like it or not. So it's best, you know, to join in and fill our spot. It's much more comfortable if we're in our spot than we're trying to fill someone else's spot. And so as we do that, we just naturally begin to shine like you did this morning. You know, that seems like a really small deal, but that was a big deal to me to watch you. Your light is shining. We need to all have those lights shining, not put them out. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. Because that's the Holy Spirit on us. And so we just need to be encouraged to do that. That to arise and shine. For, and over in 61. For the Spirit of the Lord God's upon you, because the Lord's anointed you to preach good tidings to the poor. He sent us to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of you, Lord, that you may be glorified. It's on you. And as we claim it and declare it and say, Lord, I receive that. As we declare that over ourselves and say, Lord, I receive that. That's me. And Lord, forgive me for the days that it does. I don't let it shine. Listen, there's going to be days. Ask Kathy. I had one of them yesterday. Not bad, Janet, but I'm like, I could have done been to Deadwood with Corey. I've driven so much the last 4 days. And I come from Houston. And by the time we got home, she says, okay, the joy, Lord, your strength. And I'm just like, I'm not very joyful. And I was tired. I wasn't allowing the joy of the Lord to be my strength. We all hit those spots. We just repent and go on. It's not, you know, don't let the devil continue, because then the devil will tell you, well, you shouldn't stand up and tell them people in the morning this. He doesn't want us to hear this, because he's cringing. The principalities and powers are cringing. They're like, whoa, shut that guy up. Man, I'll tell you what. I told him at Henrietta, when we were up there one time at Henrietta, takes a year or so ago, I said, you know what? They say, well, they're coming after this and that. I'm like, open the door and let them in. And that should be our... We don't need to be on the defensive. We need to be on the offensive. It's time to be the attacker, not the defender. We must attack. We've got to be, we are to not be silent. In Psalms 83, turn to Psalms 83. You know, I shared this with y'all quite a bit as far as a prayer that I think is one that the Lord would have us to pray. I pray it. I'm not telling y'all that you have to do that. But the Lord began to apply to in Psalms 83, we're starting verse 1. He said, do not keep silent, O God. Do not hold your peace, and do not be still, O God. For behold, your enemies make an uproar, and those who hate you have lifted up their head, and they take crafty counsel together against your people. They consult together against your shelter ones. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel, and I always add, and the United States, be remembered no more, for that's what they're trying to do. For they consult together with one consent and form a confederacy against you. And then I go down to verse 13. But the point being here is God said, you don't be silent, you don't be still, and you don't hold your peace. You join forces with me in enforcing my word and setting the captives free and taking back your nation. Take back your schools. It's time for us to take these things back. But, you know, we're like I said, it's a seed planting thing. And we've got responsibilities that, yes, I mean, I'm all for the Black Coat Regiment, you know, back at the beginning of them. We're in the Second American Revolution, whether you want to believe that or not. We're in it. It hasn't come to a war. Listen, they don't want it to come to a gunfight because they know they lose. Absolutely. I believe this with all my heart. They know if it was a gunfight, they lose. There's over 10 million new gun owners in the United States in the last year. They don't want a gunfight. They're having to do it with fear and oppression. And when they can get people, when getting people in fear and causing them to submit to things that are not godly, that are just unalienable rights, God, our God-given rights, God gave them to us and they cannot take them away. That's to preach the word, to share the word at school. They can't, you know what? I was thinking about this as I was feeding this morning. You know, if we give our kids scripture, and we don't have to, we tell them. Now, when someone says something to you, we can be the same way. We need to be the same way when they tell you, well, you can't quote the Bible here. They don't know what the Bible says. And so if we don't tell them what script, what chapter and verse, we just quote the word doesn't, God didn't say you have to tell them what chapter and verse. You just speak the word and I'll do the work. My word will not return void. Our kids can do that at school and change the whole atmosphere of the school if we teach them scripture. That's why it's so important to memorize scripture. To know the word of God. Now I'm really running in trouble, Rick, because I thought I was about done and it's like really going and I don't know which way to go. Man, this could, we were at Henrietta last time and one of them ladies, she was from the Brush Harbor days, I think. Because she told me, she said, my daddy used to tell mama, did you bring enough to eat for lunch when they left for church? And she said, I'm going to tell Pastor Larry, next time you come, we better bring lunch because we need to have church all day. And I, you know, we probably would not hurt for us to get back to those, some of those things. Let me see if I can find in my notes where this was. Let's go to 2 Timothy 2:15. That, and you can turn there and to Ephesians chapter 6. 2 Timothy 2:15. Yeah, this was good. 2 Timothy 2:15 in the New King James says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word. Now, let me read you the commentary in my study Bible on this. The word of God, the Bible, God's inspired word, is the only conclusive source of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding concerning ultimate realities. It is a fountainhead of freeing truth and a goldmine of practical principles, waiting to liberate or enrich the person who will pursue its truth and wealth. Thus, Paul's instruction to be diligent, a worker, has been applied by serious Christians through the centuries as a directive to study the Word of God. The only way to healthy, balanced living is through the rightly dividing, literally cutting straight of God's Word. Such correct, straight-on application of God's Word is the result of diligent study. The text calls us beyond casual approaches to Scriptures, telling us to refuse to suit the Bible to our own convenience or ideology. I'm going to skip down. Memorizing the Scripture also provides an immediate availability of God's Word as a sword and ready in witnessing and effective in spiritual warfare. We got to know the Word of God to rightly decide it. Now turn back to Ephesians chapter 6. In And y'all all, I mean, y'all all know this about putting on the whole armor of God. But there was a piece in this commentary. Oh, yeah. I'm not going to read all of Ephesians 6. We know it's about putting on, being strong in the Lord and the power of his might and putting on all the armor. But my commentary here, Paul admonishes us to put on the whole armor of God in order to stand against the forces of hell. It is clear that our warfare is not against physical forces, but against invisible powers who have clearly defined levels of authority in a real, though invisible, sphere of activity. And Paul goes on down there and talks about, you know, we're dealing with principalities and powers. We've got to be equipped. We've been equipped. To put on the armor of God is to prepare for battle. Prayer is the battle itself. With God's word being our chief weapon employed against Satan during our struggle. So when we declare the word of God, when we speak the word of God, God's given us what to speak. You know, we make this so difficult. God said, I've given you everything. In 2 Peter chapter 1, he said, I've given you everything that pertains unto life and godliness. And we go hunting for it all the time. We're like, Lord, I need it. No, I've given you everything. And when we go there and say, Lord, and he's, here it is. We need to listen. If we get tuned in, then we'll know how to apply it. Amen. And as we begin to apply it according to the word of God, then the duty's ours and the results are God's. We're just to be doers of the word. God will enforce it. I want to share a few just quick little things with you, and I'm going to stop with that. I could go on about this all day, but I want to share a few things with you that were just amazing to me. And I just, Mario's been doing some, I mean, they're, anyway. 29% of the Democrats now believe that the unvaccinated should be placed in concentration camps. That's the truth. 29% of them. You know, and he was talking about woke pastors, and he wasn't condemning them. He was saying we need to be praying for them. But he said even the Marxists have a higher regard for the Bible than woke pastors do. We got a lot of pastors who are not speaking the truth. He said if we leave quietly, there's no hope. But here I want to get to this particular spot. This was about Esther. Guys, we can't be silent. In Psalms 83, the Lord wants us to join forces with him and not being silent, not being still, and not holding our peace. Y'all remember in Esther, the book of Esther, Haman's trying to destroy the Jews. It's a picture that could fit right in our nation today. I mean, it really could. And Mordecai is telling Esther that disaster's looming. We can all agree that it's out there. And she's the key to preventing the disaster. And finally, disaster will come to her if she remains silent. We're the key to preventing disaster and the destroying of our nation, to taking back of our schools. So this is the word in Esther 4:13-14, the Amplified. Do not imagine that you in the king's palace can escape any more than all the Jews. We, you know, we can come in our churches and we can gather and we can do sing and praise, but if we don't speak up, we'd be just like Esther if she would have been silent. For if you remain silent at this time, liberation and rescue will arise from the Jews from another place, for the Jews from another place, and you and your father's house will perish, since you did not help when you had the chance. Why do we think all those Jews were killed in the Holocaust? Because of silence. And we could easily lose this nation if we remain silent. We could see a lot of people, you know, and I don't mean just this nation. I'm talking about a lot of people out there that believe they're living a lifestyle that is totally detrimental to their eternal destiny. And they don't know the truth. And if we're silent, they're not going to know the truth. It's not just about the preacher that stands behind the pulpit. Me and you have authority in our area of influence. And where we go and speak the word will not return void. People will speak the truth, they'll know the truth, and the truth will make them free. And who knows whether you have attained royalty for such a time as this, for this very purpose. For if you remain silent at this time, liberation and rescue will arise for the Jews from another place. Listen, if we leave quietly, the life we're trying to protect will be destroyed. The possessions we're hoarding will be taken from us. In short, what you fear the most will come upon you. And the only way to protect everything you love is by facing evil head on and not running from it. You know, and that's so many applications. To me, this is such a broad application today, because it's not just, I'm not talking just about our nation. I'm talking about people. God loves people. And you know, surely he'd agree with us that sometimes they're hard to love. I mean, he wanted to destroy them. He knows that. It's no surprise to him. But he managed to do it anyway. And now, when we can sense the love of God, and when we meditate on the love that God has for us, we begin to have that love for others. And as we do, we'll study the Word to show ourselves approved. We'll memorize the Word so that we can be doers of the Word. And like I say, the duty's ours, the results are God's. We just speak the truth. But we got to know the truth, and not our own opinions, and how we think it should be done. And I'm working on that, Sharon. I'm working on it, and it's a daily thing for me. If I got any cross to take up, it'd be that right there. Russ, don't share your opinion. Just speak the Word. And, you know, it's fun to watch God work, because it takes all the responsibility off of us. We've relieved ourselves, and God just, he's like, I got this, son. You speak it, and then you can go over there and rope. Ricky, you can go over there, go down on the water thing and play on the water. You can speak to somebody today, and you know, what do you like to do? You know how to get to enjoy to do that? Speak the Word in the right place, the right time, and God will just take it. You come over here, and you get occupied with this for a little while, because I don't need you in on injecting on this. We got all did one time, and they take me to the IRS office, and this guy asked me if I'm scared. And I looked at him, and I said, no, sir, I am not scared. I said, if you owe me, you're going to pay me. If I owe you, I'll pay you or something like that. Anyway, you know, he gets through, and he's going through all my papers. And he said, man, you keep really good records. I said, yep. He said, I don't think I need to add any more. I said, oh, yeah, you do. I said, I worked hard to put all that together, and you're going to add every one of them. And he looked at me, and he kept adding. But then our CPA got sent to prison for cheating. And we had to get somebody else to represent us. And the next guy told Kathy, said, Rusty does not get to go to the IRS office. Sometimes we need to just speak what God has us to speak. And then we need to go somewhere else. With every head bowed and every eye closed. We never leave. We never close the service here without giving someone an opportunity to receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And if that's you today and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, we want to give you that opportunity. And we'd like for you to have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So we're all going to pray a prayer, because there's a heaven, there's a hell. We're either going to spend eternity, if we know Jesus, if we confess Jesus as our Lord, we're going to spend eternity in the presence of a loving God. And if we don't know Jesus and we've not said yes and our name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, we're going to spend eternity. It's hard to wrap our minds around eternity, but that is forever in an unquenchable fire in the pits of hell, separated from a loving God, and there's never another chance. And I'm not trying to scare you into it. I just want you to know that you have the opportunity today. So we're all going to pray this prayer. And if you need to make Jesus the Lord of your life, we're going to ask you today to pray this prayer with us. So say this with me. Father God, I thank you today for Jesus. I realize that I'm a sinner, but I can be saved by grace. So I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart, to be my Lord and Savior. I give you my life, for you formed me in my mother's womb. You created me, and I want your destiny for me. So I receive you, Lord, as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if that was you today and you asked the Lord Jesus to come into your heart and be the Lord of your life, I'm going to count to three, and I just want to raise your hand so we can get you a Bible. I won't embarrass you. Ready? One, two, three. Anybody? Okay, y'all look up. I thank y'all so much. I pray that I did deliver what God had me to deliver today, and I tried to be a little more filtered than normal. Doesn't always work, Janet, but I just, you know, guys, we're so fortunate to live where we live. Now, we need to, you know, we need to protect what God's given us. We need to occupy and do business till He comes. So I just encourage you this week, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, and go forth being who God called you to be. I thank y'all.